What it is, we are back, picking up on chapter 7 in Numbers, and here we go. And it happened on the day that Moses finished setting up the tabernacle, he anointed it, and sanctified it, and all its vessels, and the altar and all its vessels. And he anointed them and sanctified them. And the rulers of Israel, the chiefs of their fathers' houses offered. These were the rules of the tribes, these that they stood over, the ones that were numbered. And they brought their offering before Jehovah, 6 covered wagons and 12 oxen, a wagon for every 2 of the rulers, for each one an ox. And they presented them before the tabernacle. And Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, Take it from them, that they may be used to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. And you shall give them to the Levites, to each man according to his service. And Moses took the wagons and the oxen and gave them to the Levites. He gave 2 wagons and 4 oxen to the sons of Gershon, according to their service. And he gave 4 wagons and 8 oxen to the sons of Merari, according to their service, under Ithamar, the son of Aaron the priest. But he did not give any to the sons of Kohath, because the service of the holy things belonged to them. They bore them on their shoulders. And the rulers brought the dedication offering of the altar in the day it was anointed. And the rulers brought near their offering before the altar. And Jehovah said to Moses, They shall present their offering, one to the day, one ruler to the day, for the dedication of the altar. And he who brought his offering the first day was Nahshon, the son of Aminadab of the tribe of Judah. His offering was 1 silver dish, its weight 131 silver basin of 70 shekels, after the sanctuary shekel, both of them full of flour mixed with oil for a food offering, 1 golden pan of 10 shekels full of incense, 1 young bullock, 1 ram, 1 he lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, 1 male of the goats for a sin offering, and the sacrifice of the peace offering, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 he-goats, 5 yearling he-lambs. This was the offering of Nahshon, the son of Aminadab. I already have a speech impediment. This word is just torture. I don't know why, but boy, my brain doesn't, I see the word, I know all the sounds it should make, but my brain can't get them to my mouth in time for it to properly function. So, yeah, that's happening. Anyway, on the second day, Nathaniel. We'll just say Nathaniel, but it says Nathaniel. It's got 2 E's at the end before the L. On the second day, Nathaniel, the son of Zuar, ruler of Issachar, offered. He brought for his offering 1 silver dish, its weight 130, 1 silver basin of 70 shekels after the sanctuary shekel, both of them full of flour mixed with oil for a food offering, 1 golden pan of 10 shekels full of incense, 1 young bullock, 1 ram, 1 he lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, 1 male of the goats for a sin offering, and for the sacrifice of the peace offering, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 he-goats, 5 yearling he-lambs. This was the offering of Nathaniel, the son of Zuar. So I guess like that offering, I thought the first one might have been like, that was a substantial amount of animals at the end, because that's what they had to offer. But I guess that maybe is like the standard, if these guys are offering that too. But what are, these are the Levites too, right? Because they weren't doing the... I get so lost so fast. On the third day, Eliab, the son of Helon, ruler of the sons of Zebulun. Man, that sounds like a science fiction name, doesn't it? Zebulun? I'm probably saying that completely wrong. It's Zebulun. Zebulun? I mean, any way I'm saying it, it still sounds like it could be a science fiction name. Right out of like a Isaac Asimov story. Zebulon, the leader of the, you know, some galactic federation or the army of some planet. Anyway, his offering was One silver dish, its weight 130, one silver basin of 70 shekels after the sanctuary shekel, both of them full of flour mixed with oil for a food offering, one golden pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bullock, one ram, one he lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, one male of the goats for a sin offering, and for the sacrifice of the peace offering, two oxen, five rams, five he goats, five yearling he lambs. This was the offering of Eliab, the son of Helon. On the fourth day, Eleazar, the son of Shedeur, I think I'm saying that right too, I don't know. It's Shedeur, Shedeur, Shedeur. I think I like Tupac Shakur, and I just kind of Shedeur, I don't know. It's the closest I have with experience to that. I could be butchering it too. Every name in here I'm probably butchering, and I apologize to anyone offended by it. It's not my intention. It's translating to English its best it can be, and I'm just doing my best to read it and try and understand it. So, apologies. It's not meant to offend, just whoa. Okay, on the fourth day, Eleazar, the son of Shedeur, the ruler of the sons of Reuben. Reuben, like that looks like Reuben, right? Like anytime you've seen the word or the name Reuben, that it's spelt, even like, you know, like a Reuben sandwich, spelt exactly the same. Anyway, like you'll run into names that are just what, and then other names that are like, oh, and Dan was just doing this. I'm like, oh, okay. Reuben, his offering was one silver dish, its weight 130. its weight 130. So, what does that mean? Is it 130 ounces of silver? Or it's just a dish? The dish is the dish itself 130 ounces? Because I mean, it just says 130. I guess you don't. We measure it by ounces now, or weigh it, scale it by ounces now, but who knows what they did back there. One silver basin of 70 shekels after the sanctuary shekel, both of them full of flour mixed with oil for a food offering, one golden pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bullock, one ram, one he lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, one male of the goats for a sin offering, and for the sacrifice of the peace offering, two oxen, five rams, five he goats, five yearling he lambs. This was the offering of Eleazar the son of Shedeur. On the fifth day, Shelumiel, the son of Zurishaddai, ruler of the sons of Simeon. His offering was one silver dish, its weight 130, one silver basin of 70 shekels after the sanctuary shekel, both of them full of flour mixed with oil for a food offering, one golden pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bullock, one ram, one he lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, one male of the goats for a sin offering, and for the sacrifice of the peace offering, two oxen, five rams, five he goats, five yearling he lambs. This was the offering of Shelumiel, the son of Zurishaddai.
Oh boy.
That made my back itch. That's how crazy that was. Okay. Lost a speaker. Moving on. My God, this is the longest chapter. Whoa. There's no end to this chapter on this page. There's no end to this chapter on the next. This is going to be the longest chapter. This is by far the longest of all the chapters so far. Wow. I didn't even notice that. Okay, moving on. I think we're on day six now. That was day five. Yeah. Yep. Here we go. On the sixth day, Eliasaph, the son of Deuel, ruler of the sons of Gad, his offering was one silver dish, its weight 130, one silver basin of 70 shekels after the sanctuary shekel, both of them full of flour mixed with oil for a food offering, one golden pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bullock, one ram, one he lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, one male of the goats for a sin offering, and for the sacrifice of the peace offering, two oxen, five rams, five he goats, five yearling he lambs. This was the offering of Eliasaph, the son of Deuel. On the seventh day, Elishama, the son of Ammihud, ruler of the sons of Ephraim, his offering was one silver dish, its weight 130, one silver basin of 70 shekels after the sanctuary shekel, both of them full of flour mixed with oil for a food offering, one golden pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bullock, one ram, one he-lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, one male of the goats for a sin offering, and for the sacrifice of the peace offering, two oxen, five rams, five he-goats, five yearling he-lambs. This was the offering of the Elishama, the son of Emahud. On the eighth day, Gamaliel, son of Pedahazur, ruler of the sons of Manasseh, his offering was one silver dish, its weight 130, one silver basin of 70 shekels after the sanctuary shekel, both of them full of flour mixed with oil for a food offering, one golden pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bullock, one ram, one he-lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, one male of the goats for a sin offering, and for the sacrifice of the peace offering, two oxen, five rams, five he-goats, five yearling he-lambs. This was the offering of Gamaliel, the son of Pedahazur. On the ninth day, Abidan, the son of Gideoni, ruler of the sons of Benjamin, his offering was one silver dish, its weight 130, one silver basin of 70 shekels after the sanctuary shekel, both of them full of flour mixed with oil for a food offering, one golden pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bullock, one ram, one he-lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, one male of the goats for a sin offering, and for the sacrifice of the peace offering, two oxen, five rams, five he-goats, five yearling he-lambs. This was the offering of Abidan, the son of Gideoni. On the tenth day, Ahizur, the son of Amishaddai, is that Amishaddai? Ruler of the sons of Dan. There, Dan, hey buddy. His offering was one silver dish, its weight 130, one silver basin of 70 shekels after the sanctuary shekel, both of them full of flour mixed with oil for a food offering, one golden pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bullock, one ram, one he-lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, one male of the goats for a sin offering, and for the sacrifice of the peace offering, two oxen, five rams, five he-goats, five yearling he-lambs. This was the offering of Ahizur, the son of Amishaddai. On the 11th day, this I don't know if this goes to 33 days, but immediately I'm like, the 11th day? Well, that's got to be like the Mason's favorite day. On the 11th day, Pagiel, that's close to pagan, right? But anyway, Pagiel, the son of Ochran, ruler of the sons of Asher, his offering was one silver dish, its weight 130, one silver basin of 70 shekels after the sanctuary shekel, both of them full of flour mixed with oil for a food offering, one golden pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bullock, one ram, one he-lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, one male of the goats for a sin offering, and for the sacrifice of the peace offering, two oxen, five rams, five he-goats, five yearling he-lambs. This was the offering of Pagiel, the son of Ochran. On the 12th day, Ahira, the son of Anan, ruler of the sons of Naphtali, his offering was one silver dish, its weight 130, one silver basin of 70 shekels after the sanctuary shekel, both of them full of flour mixed with oil for a food offering, one golden pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bullock, one ram, one he-lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, one male of the goats for a sin offering, and for the sacrifice of the peace. One moment. This was page 123. The peace offering, two oxen, five rams, five he-goats, five yearling he-lambs. This was the offering of Ahira, the son of Anan. This was the dedication of the altar in the day when it was anointed. At the hand of the rulers of Israel, 12 silver dishes, 12 silver basins, 12 golden pans, each silver dish 130 in weight, each basin 70. All the silver of the vessels was 2,400 shekels by the sanctuary shekel. 12 golden pans full of incense, 10 to this and 10 to that pan, according to the sanctuary shekel. All the gold of the pans was 120. All the animals for the burnt offering, 12 bullocks, 12 rams, 12 yearling he-lambs, and their food offering, and the 12 males of the goats for a sin offering, and all the animals for the sacrifice of the peace offering, 24 bullocks, 60 rams, 60 he-goats, 60 yearling he-lambs. This was the dedication of the altar after it was anointed. And when Moses went into the tent of the congregation to speak with him, he heard the voice speaking to him from the mercy seat, which is on the ark of the testimony, from between the two cherubs, and he spoke to him. Whew. That was chapter 7. Oh, man. Here goes chapter 8. Let me do this without shaking it about too bad. Okay, chapter 8. Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and say to him, when you light the lamps, the seventh lamp shall give the light the front of the lampstand." In front of the lamp, I'm sorry. When you light the lamps, the seventh lamp, it says lamps, but I'm going to say, I think it's lamp, the seventh, or the seven lamps. Oh, the seven lamps shall give light in the front of the light, the lampstand. I butchered that twice. And Aaron did so. He lit the lamps so as to give light in front of the lampstand. And Jehovah commanded Moses, and this was the work of the lampstand, beaten work of gold to its base, and to its flowers it was beaten work, according to the pattern which Jehovah caused Moses to see. So he made the lampstand. And Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, "Take the Levites from among the sons of Israel, and you shall cleanse them, sprinkle on them water of sin offering, and they shall cause a razor to pass over their flesh," so they're going to shave, "and shall wash their garments and cleanse themselves. And they shall take a bullocks of the first year and its food offering, flour mixed with oil, and you shall take for sin," is that just bread, flour mixed with oil? "And you shall take for a sin offering a second bullock, a son of the herd, and you shall bring the Levites near before the tabernacle of the congregation. And you shall assemble the whole congregation of the sons of Israel. And you shall bring the Levites before Jehovah, and the sons of Israel shall lay their hands on the Levites. And Aaron shall wave the Levites as a wave offering before Jehovah from the sons of Israel, that they may serve at the service of Jehovah. And the Levites shall lay their hands on the head of the bullocks. And you shall offer the one for a sin offering, and one a burnt offering to Jehovah, to atone for the Levites. And you shall cause the Levites to stand before Aaron and before his sons, and shall wave them as a wave offering to Jehovah. And you shall separate the Levites from the midst of the sons of Israel, and the Levites shall become mine. And afterward the Levites shall come in to serve the tabernacle of the congregation, and you shall cleanse them, and shall wave them a wave offering, for they are wholly given to me from among the sons of Israel. Instead of the one who opens any womb, the firstborn of all from the sons of Israel, I have taken them to myself. For every firstborn among the sons of Israel, among man and among animal, is mine. I set them apart for myself in the day I smote every firstborn in the land of Egypt. And I take the Levites instead of every firstborn among the sons of Israel. And I have given the Levites as gifts to Aaron and to his sons from among the sons of Israel, to do the service of the sons of Israel in the tabernacle of the congregation, and to make atonement for the sons of Israel through the sons of Israel's drawing near to the sanctuary." So in a way, did he just kind of like make the Levites like monks, like their whole life now is dedicated to the cause, and that now saves, because of that dedication, that the others are, that the firstborns are saved from being killed. But they're essentially holy slaves. Well, not, I mean, they're heavily rewarded, right? Or they have been so far, so I mean, you wouldn't call them slaves. You wouldn't call them slaves. So, I mean, what would that be then? So they're now like the chosen ones? Are they above the Israelites? Does he favor them over the Israelites because they're his? Every time I ask a question, I end up finding the answer in like the next few paragraphs. So I guess the answer is to read on. Israel's drawing near to the sanctuary. There we go. "And Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the sons of Israel did to the Levites according to all that Jehovah had commanded. Moses concerned the Levites, so the sons of Israel did to them." Oh, wait. Jehovah had commanded Moses. Levites according to all that Jehovah had commanded Moses concerning the Levites. So the sons of Israel did to them, and the Levites cleansed themselves and washed their garments. And Aaron waved them as a wave offering before Jehovah, and Aaron atoned for them to cleanse them. And afterward, the Levites went in to do their service in the tabernacle of the congregation before Aaron and before his sons, as Jehovah commanded Moses concerning the Levites. So they did to them. And Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, "This is that which pertains to the Levites. From 25 years old and upward, he shall go in to do the service and the works of the tabernacle of the congregation. And from the age of 50 years, they shall return from the service of the work and shall not serve any more. But he shall serve with his brothers in the tabernacle of the congregation to keep the charge, only he shall not serve at a service. So you shall do to the Levites concerning their charge." So they get a 25-year service. Numbers is so long, I think I'm going to just blaze through one more because I can see the ending. See chapter 10 on this next page. So this 9's not too long. Then I'll stop there. I had to shut off my fridge so it wouldn't turn on, so I wouldn't have like background noise. I kind of want to get that back on as soon as possible. So that was crazy about the Levites. I hope that that's like, they're not just, you know, a group of a couple hundred all men that just, you know, and it would never end, right? It would just be the 25-year-olds constantly coming in and the 50-year-olds constantly leaving. So it would just never nonstop be a group of men. I hope they have some kind of life beyond just standing around a tent and moving it around. I don't know though. Yeah, I don't know the whole story, right? So maybe that's how important that tent is. Chapter 9. Jehovah spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the first month of the second year after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, "Also the sons of Israel shall prepare the Passover in its appointed season. In the 14th day of this month, between the evenings, you shall prepare it according to all its statutes and according to all its ordinances." And Moses spoke to the sons of Israel to prepare the Passover. And they prepared the Passover in the first month on the 14th day of the month, between the evenings in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that Jehovah had commanded Moses. So the sons of Israel did. Oh, what? Okay. It says, "And there were men," but "were" is actually spelled W-E-R-E-R. So that threw me for a second, but it just makes sense as "were." "And there were men who had been defiled by the body of man, and they had not been able to prepare the Passover on that day. And they came near before Moses and before Aaron on that day. And those men said to him, 'We are defiled by the body of a man. What does that mean? Why are we restrained so as not to be able to offer the offering of Jehovah in its appointed season in the midst of the sons of Israel?' And Moses said to them, 'You wait so that I may hear what Jehovah will command concerning you.' And Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, If any man of you or of your generation shall be unclean by reasons of a body, or be in a distant journey, yet he shall keep the Passover to Jehovah. In the second month, on the 14th day at dusk, they shall keep it. They shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it until morning, nor break a bone of it. According to all the statutes of the Passover, they shall keep it. But the man that is clean and is not on a journey and has failed to prepare the Passover, even that person shall be cut off from his people because he did not bring the offering of Jehovah in its appointed season. That man shall bear his sin. And if a stranger shall reside with you and desires to keep the Passover to Jehovah, he shall do according to the statute of the Passover and according to its ordinance. You shall have one statute, both for the alien and for the native of the land. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, even the tabernacle of the testimony. And at evening, there was on the tabernacle the appearance of fire until morning. So it was always, the cloud covered it, and the appearance of fire by night. And whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, then after that the sons of Israel pulled up stakes, and in the place where the cloud abode, there the sons of Israel encamped. By the mouth of Jehovah the sons of Israel pulled up, and by the mouth of Jehovah they encamped. All the days that the cloud remained over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. And when the cloud tarried on the tabernacle many days, does that mean rained? Rained, or does it mean like blue wind? And when the cloud tarried on the tabernacle many days, the sons of Israel kept the charge of Jehovah and did not pull up. And so when the cloud was a number of days over the tabernacle, by the mouth of Jehovah they camped, and by the mouth of Jehovah they pulled up stakes. And so when the cloud was there from evening until morning, when the cloud was taken up in the morning, and they pulled up, whether by day or by night, when the cloud was taken up, then they pulled up. Whether 2 days or a month or days, when the cloud tarried over the tabernacle to remain over it, the sons of Israel remained in camp and did not pull up. And when it was lifted up, they pulled up. By the mouth of Jehovah they encamped, and by the mouth of Jehovah they pulled up stakes. They kept the charge of Jehovah, by the mouth of Jehovah, by the hand of Moses. And that is the end of chapter 9. That's where we're going to conclude for now. I'll be back to pick up chapter 10, hopefully tomorrow, yeah, have a great day, night, or whatever it is for you, and be with God.